James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, the Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have..." Where am I at? I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. I wondered, I'm thinking, that ain't what I'm preaching on. I'm reading chapter 3. But that's good too. But let's go to chapter 4. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for what we've already seen and heard. We've heard good singing, and we've heard prayers, and we've heard praise. And now, Father, we're going to hear the Word of God. And I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit to the Word of God. Open your servants' lips to speak the Word of God. And Lord, may you do a work in us so that you can do a work through us. I pray, my Father, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll certainly thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord, with the pen of James, is asking us a question and trying to get us to think about our life. The Lord wants us to understand how short and fragile our life here on planet Earth is. It is short. Verse 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's like that vapor. It's here and it's gone. Many times I've likened this to that breath that you see in the wintertime, and you go, oh, and you see it for a second and then it's gone. That's how our life is, or it's like the steam that comes out of the kettle on the stove. You see it and it's gone. You see it and it's gone. You see it and it's gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. The person who writes the obituaries has job security. Amen. David put it this way in Psalm 102, verse 3, "For my days are consumed like smoke." And then in Psalm 90, verse 12, he said this, "So teach us to number our days." Our days are numbered, aren't they? And our life is fragile. Verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." I mean, really? Can you really say with certainty that you will even be here tomorrow? Can you say with certainty what you'll be doing tomorrow, or if you'll be well tomorrow? Or even that you'll continue past the next 10 minutes. We had a preacher here one time, and he was preaching and had a heart attack right on the platform. I'm sure he didn't know that was going to happen, but it happened. So many things interrupt our plans. So many things interrupt our ideas. So many things change our direction. And so the Lord is helping us to understand that we need to appeal to Him in all of our ventures, even in life itself. Since life is so short and so unpredictable and full of obstacles and dangers and unknown events, we need to seek His wisdom and His guidance, His blessing, and His approval on all things. I've told you before that before I go to sleep at night, I kneel beside the bed and I present my plans for the coming day. And I set them out before the Lord for His approval and submit them to His sovereignty. God is to have the last word in our lives.
That's right.
The last word in our affairs. He's to be the determiner of our lives. Why? Because we don't know what's coming. We have no idea what's coming down the road. The Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." I can say, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow." And He knows full well that's not going to happen. Why? Because He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's on the morrow. And so I want to go to Him and say, "Lord, this is what I would like to do, and this is what I plan on doing, but You're in charge." Listen, when I close my eyes to sleep at night, I don't even know if I'm going to wake up. let alone how my day is really going to go tomorrow. Now, praise God that he is a God of order and goodness and that most of our days are pretty much the same. But we cannot take that for granted. You have good health today. Don't take it for granted. You have everything you need today. Don't take it for granted. You can talk today. Don't take it for granted. The man who donated to the museum, his wife woke up one day and couldn't talk. Couldn't utter. She was talking, but it was like in a foreign language. And he took her to the hospital, and the doctor's talking to her, and the doctor says to this guy, he says, "What language is she speaking?" He said, "It's not a language. She's trying to speak in English." See, she didn't know that was going to happen. Everything was fine one day. The next day, you can't even communicate. We know not what shall be on tomorrow. That's why we appeal to God. That's why we trust God. We need his overarching protection and provision and power over our lives in this world and in these untoward times. Look, we only get one go around at life. And we're never going to pass this way again. And each day may be our last day on earth. And with it, the decisions and opportunities and potentials that come with that day. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians and the Colossians and told them to redeem the time, to make the most of our lives, to make them count for something, to wring out of even our mundane lives every drop of productivity, purpose, and potential that's possible, to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ as much as we can. Which brings me to the question of the day. The question of the evening is this: what is your life? What's the character of your life? What is your value to others? How does your life influence others? What is your life? Is it wholesome? Does it have power? Does it have purpose? What's the potential? What is your life? Do you have joy? Is your life light? Is your life have meaning? What are the priorities of your life and the direction of your life? What is your life? Where are you going? What are you accomplishing? And why are you accomplishing what you're accomplishing, if anything? Listen, most of us will never be famous or rich or powerful, but all of us have a life. And God gave us that life. We heard about life this morning as one of our two most precious possessions. What are you doing with it? And the life can be wasted or invested. It can be empty or full. It can count for something or good for nothing. It can even bring eternal reward or eternal loss. What is your life? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, number one, and that they might have it more abundantly. So I ask you, is your life abundant? That word abundant means superior in quality. And not necessarily superior in quantity, but superior in quality. It can be, and it will be, if you apply a few principles that the Lord has provided for us in his word. I'm going to share with you three things tonight that can enable you to enjoy the abundant life, to have life that is superior in quality. Number one, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, point number one is simply this: new life. Look what he says. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," here it comes, "even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see, if you're going to have a superior life than the average life,
than the worldly life. It's going to have to be a new life. Dear Christian, it can't be the old life remade. It can't be a new and improved old life, but a brand new life, a never before lived life. When a life with no history, a life with no baggage, a life with no regrets. That's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, I am come that they might have life. You see, he's saying, listen, you have life because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. He gave you a new life, a different life, a better life, a superior quality of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 is not speaking first and foremost of water baptism, but of spiritual baptism. He's talking about us being baptized or placed into Jesus Christ. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus as Savior, that person is placed in Christ spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Water baptism is only an outward physical picture and public proclamation of what has already taken place spiritually at the moment a person confesses their sins to God and calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. The baptism just pictures what already happened spiritually. It's a public profession of our faith in Christ. And when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, then and only then is that person able to walk in newness of life. You see what it said? That we should walk in what? Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. In verse 4, it says that we should walk. We should walk. Hear that word should? There's the potential, isn't it? There's the direction, isn't it? There's the expectation from God that we should walk in newness of life. But do we always walk in that newness of life? Should means that it indicates the possibility, doesn't it? Let me ask you, what is your life? Is it a new life? Or is it the same old life with a little whipped cream on top of it? What is your life? Is it the life you want to live? Is this what you want to do for the rest of your life? Are you content? I mean, is it of such quality and such character that it could be classified as an abundant life or a superior life? That's what Jesus said he came to give us. Abundant life. Superior in quality. The life you're living now as a Christian ought to be better than the life you were living before you were saved. And the life you're living today as a Christian ought to be better than the life you lived when you first got saved. Or maybe your life's worth changing. Maybe the life you're living is worth improving. Maybe it's worth trading. You know, that's what it means to be born again. That's what born again is all about. Being born spiritually into God's family and being given a new life, a fresh start. Now, I remember years ago, this was decades ago, there was a lady who got saved. We were out on visitation and we led her to the Lord and she started coming to church. And here I'd found out that before she got saved, she had been a prostitute. And she'd been beaten up, I mean, numerous times. She had problems with her skull, and she had scars on her face. And she was just a hard-looking person. And she got saved. And she was carrying around some of these things in her heart, you know. How could God use me? And what about all the stuff that I did? And I told her that when she trusted Christ as her Savior, she got a new life. Amen. Old things are what? Passed away. I said, listen, when you get saved, you get a clean slate. Your life from that point on until Jesus comes is a whole different thing. It's a whole new life. It's a clean slate. You don't have to carry any of that baggage with you. Why? It's all been forgiven. It's all been washed away in the blood of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Listen, you cannot undo the life you lived, and you cannot have a do-over, but you can have a new life that begins when you get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a new life, and it's an abundant life. It's a superior life. It's a life that is given by Jesus Christ as a gift of faith. And it is eternal life. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What I'm going to preach in the next couple minutes is only available to those and possible for those who have been born again. Now then, look with me at Romans 6:4. You're there. Romans 6:4. Look what it says. He's talking to Christians. He's saying, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. It says we should. That means it's possible. And we should see to it that we do. But how? How are we going to do this? Well, first of all, you have to lose your life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. You have, first of all, if you're going to have this abundant life, if you're going to have this superior quality of life, the first thing you're going to have to do, if you're going to walk in newness of life, the first thing you have to do is lose your life. Look what he says, Matthew 16:25. Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, we try to hold on to our life. What do I mean by that? I mean our kind of life. The life we want. The life we are used to. The life we have planned. And Jesus is saying, no, I want to give you a new life. I want to give you a superior life, not what you already have. I want to give you something that only I can give you, a life that only I can give you, and a life that only I can enable you to live. We want to have control. And Jesus is asking us to transfer that control to Him. I mean, really, how much control do we really have anyway? But even that perception of control we like to hold on to and we are loath to relinquish, right? It's like, remember I told you when Peter was in that boat and the storm and Jesus came and he said, Jesus called him to come out, walk on the water with him. What did he have to do? Peter had to give up that which he was trusting in and that which he was counting on to keep him alive if he was going to step out and walk with Jesus. We want to hold on to the life we've planned for ourselves and the life we want to live and the life our flesh likes to live. You've heard someone say, look, lose the attitude. You ever hear anybody say that? Well, we need to lose the life that we have. Our life is unto death and take up the life that is unto life. It's very strange indeed. We've been given a new life, but we want to drag along this old life. We have been given a new life, and we want to cling to the old life. You see, I lost my life. A life of being a professional rock and roll musician. A life that was groomed for rock and roll success. With all of the attendant fleshly perks and pleasures. And I was on my way, believe me. When the Lord Jesus found me, I was immersed in the rock and roll culture, in the rock and roll world. It is what I did. It is who I was. Everything in my life was centered around becoming a rock star. I had the talent, and I had the contacts. And I was making the most of those opportunities. But there was a day when I got saved. And I received new life. eternal life. There was a day when I remembered like it was yesterday, when I lost my life and I found His life for me.
Amen.
It was a day of decision when I honestly and willingly in my heart gave the Lord all of my dreams and all of my goals, all of my talents, and all of my life, and allowed Him to determine and develop my life after what He wanted. And voila. This is the product so far. But it's a whole lot better than it was. I might not be what I'm supposed to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. Amen? And my new life, it's been an amazing ride. And it's been an abundant one. We've had ups and downs and ins and outs. We've had times of poverty and times of not poverty. We haven't gotten to the wealth yet, but we've gotten to the not poverty. Amen? But it's always been abundant. Abundant with joy. Abundant with peace. Abundant with love. Abundant with friends and people and spiritual family. It's been an abundant life.
Amen.
And the life that I had that was my life is so shallow and tawdry compared to the life that Jesus had. I even tried to have a Jesus band. I figured, you know, I'm saved, right? So I'm a musician, so I'll just have a Jesus rock band. And I tried having a Jesus rock band. One day I was praying I said, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to have this Jesus band. I want to serve You. And He said, well, how can you serve Me when you have your old God in the basement? I said, what old God? He said, your equipment. I said, but wait a minute. I want to use that for You. And I want to be a rock and roll musician for Your glory. And I. And you know what He said to me? He said, I'll tell you what. Now, He's not speaking to me in some big word. No, you know how He speaks to you in your own mind and your own heart. And He said to me, I'll tell you what. He said, you want to serve Me? I said, yes, sir. He said, if I want you to do that, then I'll tell you what to do. You get rid of it, and if I want you to do it, I'll give it back to you. So the next day, I sold all my equipment. I owned a music store, by the way. So I had the equipment. I sold it all. He never gave it back to me. You know what He said? He called me to preach. Can you imagine? Me. I thought He made a mistake. The first mistake God ever made, I thought it was when He called me to preach. I said, you got my name right, huh? You know you're talking about me. He said, yes, but that was my new life. You see, I had to lose my life. And He doesn't do that extreme with everybody. But we all have our life, you understand? And He just says, look, I want you to give me your life and let me do with it what I want to do with it. I might change everything around. I might not. But trust me with it. And so I lost my life that day. And when I lost my life that day, I found it. I wouldn't trade the life that I have in Christ and the life that I've lived since I got saved for anything. You could offer me billions of dollars. I wouldn't want to change it because it's been an abundant life. You can't get an abundant life with $1 million, especially in today's economy. Listen, I just heard the other day that Elon Musk, I guess he just became the first trillionaire in human history. So what? He don't have what I have. He don't have the peace I have. He doesn't have the joy I have. He doesn't have the new life and the eternal life that I have. And you know what? We heard about the guy this morning, right? He would have given up all that just to have what I have. Just to have what you have. Let's not let it sit. John 12:25, he said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." You see, you can be saved and keep your life, but this life of yours is going to end physically through death, and it'll have nothing to show for it in the end. You get it? So, let's say you get saved and you're a fireman, or you're a policeman, or you're a plumber. You can be a plumber the rest of your life, but if you don't live the abundant life through Christ, plumbing ain't going to get you nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. Right? Being a musician would have gotten me nothing at the judgment seat of Christ, but serving God and living the new life that He has for me will bring me rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. I hope you understand the concept I'm trying to bring here. All right. Okay, so everything of your life will perish because it's temporal, and you will stand empty-handed before the Lord Jesus with only a wasted, empty life if you lived your life instead of living the life Jesus has for you. Okay? All right. Secondly, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. So what do you have to do? You have to lose your life. Okay? Lose your life. Let your life go. Let Jesus have it. If He wants you to continue in the profession you're in, He'll let you. What if He wants to change it? Are you going to trust Him? Second thing we have to do, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, we have to deny ourselves. Here's what Jesus said. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." This is hard to do. But if you want to experience abundant life, you must be willing to deny the self. What is the self? It's that part of you that lives for self and thinks only about self and caters to self. These are the wants and desires that are contrary to the Word of God, the way of God, and the will of God for your life. The old sinful self. There is a way that you want to live, and Jesus is saying, deny it. If it's in contradiction to His Word, right? I'll give you an illustration. Sometimes people, they're living together and they get saved. And they just want to keep on living together. They need to deny themselves. And they need to get in agreement with God's Word and get married or separate. You can't keep living together if you're not married. So you have to deny yourself, right? But I don't want to. Well, deny yourself. We ask children to deny themselves. What would children like to eat for breakfast? What would they like to eat for lunch? What would they like to eat for dinner? Broccoli? So you tell they have to deny themselves, right? You tell them, hey, you can't eat what you want to eat. You eat what I'm going to tell you what to eat. At least, parents, you should be doing that. If you're not, I ain't spending a day with your kid. All right? It's when we deny the way we want to go. It's when we deny the something we want to say. You ever want to say something and you know you shouldn't say it? You deny yourself. Don't give yourself the opportunity to say what you want to say. There's something you want to be that might be contrary to the Word of God. Deny it. I remember reading an article about this woman, and she was a stripper, and she got saved, and she kept being a stripper, and someone asked her a question about it, and she says, "Well, I'm stripping for Jesus." It's like, hey, deny yourself. If that's what you want to do, and it's against the Word of God, deny yourself. Sometimes we have to deny what we want to think. Huh? And we have to deny ourselves in order to follow Jesus. See? If we want to live unholy, if we want to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves and follow him. Sometimes we want to think things. All of us are like that. We get attitudes, we get preconceptions, we assume, huh? We don't know, but we assume. We have to deny thinking that is stinking in order to follow Jesus. Is that what Jesus would think? You know, people wear these, they used to wear these little bracelets, WWJD. I don't know why they wore them. What would Jesus do? They're not doing what Jesus would do. Why wear the bracelet? You know? But that's really denying yourself. If you're going to live like Jesus, you're going to have to deny yourself, because yourself, your sinful self, is going to want to do things, think things, say things, act in different ways than Jesus would. And that is incompatible with his word. You know, we've all been there. When the flesh is lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary the one to the other, which one do we obey? Which one do we follow? The Lord said if we want to follow him, we must deny the sinful self. And I have to constantly continue that decision to lose my life because my fleshly self still wants to live it. It's called rededication. And that's what happens every day in every decision. You either deny yourself and follow Jesus, or you give in to yourself and not follow Jesus. If a person continues to cater to their sinful self, they will never know the abundant life that the Lord has for them. There's a life beyond the self, beyond the power of the flesh, a life in the spirit, and a work that Christ has begun in you. Say yes to it. But how can a person consistently deny self? Well, he said here, by taking up your cross, by putting the cross between you and the sinful self. It's like the cross is here. This will be the cross. All right, this is the cross. And before I was saved, I was on this side of the cross. I was lost and on my way to hell. Why? Because I sinned against God. I came to Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's coming to the cross. I trusted him as my Savior. Now I'm on the other side of the cross, right? So if I'm going to deny myself, I have to look back and see the cross and deny what's on that side. What's between me and my old self? The cross. I've taken up the cross. And I'm denying myself. Therefore, I can follow Christ. You can't follow Christ from this side of the cross. You have to follow him from the other side. So many Christians are looking and saying, someday, 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 someday. How about today? Why is it always someday? You know, someday I'm going to get spiritual. Someday I'm going to live for Jesus. Someday I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Someday I'll change what God wants me to change. Why not now? My Bible says now is the accepted time. Amen? You know, when we're teenagers, we say, well, when I graduate, I'll get spiritual. Graduate from high school, I'm really going to buckle down, be serious about living for God. Then you graduate high school, and then you say, well, you know, I got to go to college. And so, but when I graduate college, I'm going to get serious for living for Jesus. And then you graduate college, and now it's career time. And, well, you know, when I get a career and I get established, and I have a career, well, then I'm going to really get serious about serving Jesus. And then you have a family, and you say, well, you know, when I get these kids grown and out of the house, and it's just me and my spouse, well, then, man, I'm really going to start living for the Lord. Look at all that time you lost, all those opportunities. And by the time you get where I just explained, you're too tired to live for Jesus. Amen? You're too tired to get serious for God. If you get up and go off without your cross between you and self, you'll most likely give in to the overtures of self and follow it instead of Christ. All right, that's number two. Now, number three, Ephesians chapter 4. So Jesus said, lose your life and you'll find the life that I have for you. Jesus says, deny yourself and follow me. Don't follow your dictates of your sinful self. Third thing he said is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. We need to put off the old man. Ephesians 4, 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, there is the old you before you were saved. And the old you before you were saved, it says here, was corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And then there is the new you, the new man, the man since you've trusted Christ. And what is he? The Bible says he's created in righteousness and true holiness. You are wearing one or the other every day, throughout the day. You're either wearing the old man or you're wearing the new man. Every morning you have to put on the new man. It's a conscious decision to live the new life through Christ. Are you going to live the old way or the new way? The old way was corrupt and deceitful. The new way is righteousness and truth. You know how to live, and you know how you reacted, and you know what you did before you were saved. The Bible says now it's like a garment. Take it off. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. It's called being dressed for success in the spiritual life. Ask yourself, here's how you know which man you're wearing. Is this action? Are these words? Is this attitude? Is this reaction how the old man would do it? If it is, you're still wearing the old man. If so, put it off. Drop it like a hot potato. Say, no, that is part of the old life. That is part of the old man. That is part of the selfish self. Put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? You go to the Lord and you ask him to fill you with his spirit. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to give you insights. Ask the Lord Jesus to give you wisdom. And ask the Heavenly Father to give you knowledge and understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask the Lord Jesus to lead you. And ask the Heavenly Father to empower you and enable you. That's putting on the new man, you see. We need to get in a zone by getting alone with God at the beginning of the day and getting dressed in His righteousness and putting on His armor before we go out into the world. Take time to look in the spiritual mirror before you start your day. What is the spiritual mirror? It's right here, the Word of God. James likens the Word of God to a mirror that we see our true reflection and are able to make the changes that God wants us to make and will enable us to make. Before you meet with that brother or sister, check your outfit. Am I going to meet this brother or sister wearing the old man? I'm going to tell you what the old man wants to do. The old man wants to argue, right? The old man wants to punch somebody out, right? The old man wants to say things that ought not to be said. The old man doesn't care about the other person, but the new man, created in Christ Jesus. Now that I'm in Jesus, now that I have His Spirit, now that I am His child, I can meet that brother from a whole different perspective, can I? The new man. Before you deal with that situation, make sure you have the right man on. Make sure you have the right mind thinking, and make sure you have the right mouth talking. The new man. I've told you stories, I'm not going to tell them again, but I've told you stories how I've met people in public. And my old man, sometimes because of what's happened in the situation, my old man wants to rip their face off. My old man wants to show them I'm not so old a man. Okay? But the new man says, you don't want to say that. The old man says, you don't want to do that. I mean, the new man says, you don't want to do that. Why? Because that's not following Christ.
Right.
So you know what I have to do? Surrender to the new man. And not say what I wanted to say. And not do what I wanted to do. Huh? The new man. Before you make that decision, before you take on that responsibility, before you make that promise, be sure you're dressed for success in the new man and not just showing up in the old man with a fresh flower in your lapel, deceiving yourself. The abundant life is only available, first of all, to those who are saved. The abundant life can only be experienced by those Christians who are willing to lose their life, deny themselves, and put on the new man. Remember, he said, we all should walk in newness of life. The question tonight is, are you? And if not, why? And if not, when? Tonight would be a good night to start. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Do you check what you're about, what you have on every day as far as the new man or the old man? Whose life are you living? The old life or the new life? Who calls the shots, deals with the problems, plans the future, makes decisions? The self or the Lord? Maybe tonight you need to come and say, Lord, there's some of this, my life, I need to lose so I can know and experience your life for me. Maybe there's someone that needs to come and say, Lord, I've been walking around in the old man, reacting in the old man. I need to put on the new man. And maybe there's someone here tonight that would say, you know what, I need to deny the self and follow Jesus. But maybe you're here tonight or you're listening on the radio and you've never been saved. You have nothing but the old man, the unrenewed mind, and the selfish self to live life with, and it will be anything but superior. But if you want to live a superior life, then you have to have Jesus Christ and His power at work in your life. The Lord Jesus offers something beyond that which you or the world can provide, a new life, an abundant life, eternal life. You can settle or you can be saved, and only Jesus can make it happen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Luke wrote these words, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's someone here tonight. I'd say, preacher, I've never been saved, but I'd like to get saved. I'd like to have that new life, that eternal life, that abundant life, that superior life that can only be found in Jesus Christ as Savior. And I want to ask Him to be my Savior tonight. Anybody like that here tonight? Just slip your hand up. Let me know you're here and say, I'm here and I need Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love and mercy. Thank You that those of us who are saved can have an abundant life, a superior life that can only be produced by Your working in us and Your working through us as we lose our life and follow the life You have for us. As we deny ourselves and follow Your dictates and Your will for our life. And Heavenly Father, only as we put off that old man and his ways and adopt the new man and his ways, then our life will be superior. I pray You'd guide and direct us in the invitation, that Father, You might speak to hearts, and we'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 115. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and say, Lord, there's one of those three things I need to do, two of those three things I need to do, all three of those things I need to do. And by your grace, I'm going to do it. Come to the altar. Talk to Him about it. Don't promise Him. Ask Him. He's the only one that can do it through you. All right? Why don't you come? Receive of the Lord that which you need to be all that God wants you to be and do all that God wants you to do. Number 115.